Our guest this evening, Len Sternberg, major gifts specialist here at WVXU. He's also a world traveler and a world music aficionado. Good evening, Len.
Great to be here again, Ron.
Well, thank you, brother. I know we had a nice talk about Borneo in the music festival there the last time we got together.
We did.
And tonight, we're going to talk about some of your trips to Cuba. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
What got you interested in going to Cuba? How did you get there, etc.?
All the trips that I've taken to Cuba have been through the station. We arranged licensed tours, licensed by the Treasury Department, which allows us to go to Cuba for a specific reason. Usually it's a humanitarian reason. Sometimes the licenses were for other things that I found out as we're walking back into the States. But we always had a license from the Treasury Department, and it made it totally official and acceptable. First trip was in 2004, and the last trip was in 2010.
And so you involved yourself with the arts and culture there in Cuba?
You can't help but be involved in the arts and culture in Cuba. There's a story, and I don't have any validation of it. But at the very beginning of the revolution, Fidel and Che were in Havana. They were playing golf on what was to be the last golf course in Cuba. And Fidel was saying to Che, as we build this country, we need three things. We need health care, we need literacy, and we need arts and culture. So arts and culture was one of the three dominant themes of Fidel's Cuba. I don't know if the story is true, but what is true is that their literacy rate is 99.5%. Their health care is highly respectable. And there is music and dance everywhere in Cuba.
That was my experience in my visit to Cuba in 2009. Everywhere I went, either there were musicians playing in the restaurants, even playing at the hotel for breakfast, classical, light classical music. The jazz I heard was, whoa, take your head off. And of course, when I was in Santiago going to the Casa de la Trova, where the traditional folkloric music and dance of Cuba is perpetuated, it just seemed like the population breathed this stuff.
We're both very fortunate to get to Santiago, because when people go to Cuba, they don't often get there. That's the far eastern tip of Cuba, birthplace of the Cuban Revolution, going back to Jose Martí, and the music and dance is so powerful there. And I also got to La Casa de Trova. Great place.
Yes, I was very moved when I was there. The music was superior, but I loved the people and how they danced with each other in that great Latin type of dancing that is so male and female. It was indescribable.
Again, it's the power of music. I was fortunate to hear the Buena Vista Social Club in one of the new renovated squares in Havana. And we were sitting underneath the portico of a hotel, had a great dinner. Buena Vista Social Club is playing. And as time went on, hundreds and hundreds of Cubans would sit outside in the square. And soon enough, there was a snake dance going through the courtyard of this area that went on for about a half an hour, 45 minutes, hundreds of people dancing together. And when you think of Cuba, it began with son music and then evolves into 50s jazz, 60s jazz, and salsa. I mean, salsa is a Cuban word. And it all comes out of Cuba. you get this energy. And the irony is that, as you were saying, everywhere you go, there's someone playing, someone selling a CD. The roots of Cuban capitalism is in their music industry. Because I talked to a guy who was a doctor, and he chose playing music for the tourists because he was making a lot more as a musician, had a lot of fun doing it, got to really practice his English, and was making for Cuba a fortune, because it's very hard to say no. So they just played your music, you love it, and you know they want to succeed in their own way.
Yeah, I know that it seems like every musical group that I saw in Cuba had a CD financed by the state, and I probably bought a dozen CDs while I was there from a variety of local musicians playing in a restaurant or wherever.
Constant. I mean, from breakfast, lunch, and dinner, sitting, having beers, smoking cigars, it's high-quality music on instruments that probably would not pass muster in America, but they get these terrific sounds out of them because that's what they have. They make use of
what they have. Yeah, I think that's a testament to soul right there.
And what struck me was that I did a lot of walking through the streets, different cities, and never a restriction. And you could appreciate that the music wasn't just for tourists. It was for themselves. Because as I walked down a street in a courtyard far back, I'm hearing music come from someone's apartment, two or three floors up. And it's just truly soul music.
And you're so dead on there, Len, that people in Cuba really don't have anything. I mean, you can't even talk about comparing the U.S. with Cuba. It's so apples and oranges. But they've got this soul, and they're able to make something out of nothing or something that's close to nothing and just infuse it with this life force and energy. It's unbelievable. I remember watching Cuban state television at night, the Arts Channel, and I was blown away. Did you happen to experience any of the televised arts and music and culture?
I did. I had the same experience, but we also went to a lot of dance performances. Every trip we had, we went to the National Theater in Havana, and maybe Americans would pay $20-$25 for a ticket. The dance performances went 4 to 6 hours. They'd sell the tickets to the tourists, make whatever money they could, and then hundreds of Cubans would come in for 25 cents.
Right.
And the enthusiasm that came from the audience was electrifying. I mean, very energizing. And the dancing was fantastic quality.
Oh, yes.
From modern dance to ballet, and some of it mixed in together. Very creative and very, very professional.
Yeah, that's what I liked. I liked the mixing of the modern with the balletic, the European with the African.
Yes.
And you just made a little reference. There's two systems of money in Cuba, maybe another conversation, one for the tourists, one for the residents. And it's an interesting system, but nevertheless, I heard a lot of music because it was my main interest in going from the Santeria religious sect, which was percussion-based with the call-and-response-type chanting. What is some of the other music you heard?
You mentioned the Santeria in Santiago, which has the most island African influence in Cuba. You really get a sense of highly energetic tribal dancing, a lot of percussion, and the percussion could be a crate. There's no need for a drum. It's two or three crates of different sizes and a very, very forceful dancing. When we took a trip up into the mountains, There was three-stringed son on a guitar. Very, very primitive, but very intense and piercing. The singing played a larger role, but the guitar kind of kept everything in its place. And they developed a lot of harmonies, more harmonies than I'd hear down in the city.
Oh, okay.
So like each area you go to, of course, develops out of their own history and culture, their own music.
I want to thank our guest, Len Sternberg, major gifts specialist here at WVXU, for the chat this evening on some of the music and culture of Cuba. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ron Esposito. Check us out on the web at wvxu.org. Have a good night.